Hi, this is Otto Collins, and Susie and I want to welcome you to this session. Here on this audio, I'm talking with and interviewing our good friend Leslie Karen San about forgiveness, and specifically forgiveness and its role in rebuilding trust in a relationship or marriage where trust has been broken. Now, Leslie, in addition to being one of our good friends, since 1986, she's supported thousands of people in creating greater harmony and fulfillment in their lives while helping them to learn and embody their gifts fully and offer their love completely. She's a counselor, an educator, and a coach, and in her work, she brings the spirit of aliveness, creativity, and discovery. And we know that you're going to get a lot out of this interview and this information. You can find out more about Leslie and sign up for her bi-monthly newsletter, receive her free ebook, Living by Design, Dreams to Reality, which contains 10 simple steps to creating the life you want, by visiting her interactive website, which is living-by-design.com. That's living-by-design.com. Just one more quick note about this recording before we get started. The recording you're about to hear is a live interview that I recorded with Leslie by telephone. And because it was recorded by telephone and recorded over a phone line, there are some imperfections and the recording is less than studio quality. There are so many valuable insights about forgiveness and rebuilding trust in a relationship that Susie and I think the time you spend listening to this recording is going to be incredibly valuable to you and your situation. So now, let's get started.
So we're talking today with Leslie Karen San, and we're talking today about how to turn trust around in a relationship or marriage. And specifically what we're talking about is we're talking about one aspect that's very important in the process of turning trust around, and that is forgiveness. First of all, I want to welcome you, Leslie. Welcome, and thanks for being a part of this audio series.
As always, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I know you have a wealth of knowledge to share, and I want to start with the simplest and the easiest of all questions. What is forgiveness?
Well, forgiveness is a lot of things. I think there is like almost 1,000 books written on the topic, but to me, if I was just to bottom line it, forgiveness is a process that brings us to a place of peace in our hearts and a place of peace and acceptance that the past cannot be changed. And in that place of acceptance and peace, it liberates us, it frees us to come fully present in our lives and to be a creative force right now as we move forward.
Now, there's a lot of people that are going to be hearing this, and they're going to be saying, well, yeah, I understand the part about the past cannot be changed, but there's still that certain something that I do want to be changed, to be shifted, and that is the forgiveness. Help me just a little bit further along with that, thinking that, you know, the person listening to this, they're going to be saying, I really get that, and I'm still struggling with this.
Whatever has caused the break in trust in the relationship has already happened. And when we forget, and often what happens to the person who will say is wounded as a result of that action is continually replaying the tapes of the past over and over again. And so what happens is we end up re-wounding ourselves, hurting ourselves over and over again because we keep telling ourselves the story about what happened, the meaning we put on happened, the interpretation that something was violated, and we keep victimizing ourselves by the retelling of the event.
That's really an interesting way of phrasing it and looking at it, and that's really what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, and therefore we become a prisoner to our own thinking process, to our own storytelling process. And until we do actually get in there and forgive the event, we are not free.
Wow.
Because we're stuck in the past. And often people don't understand how they're hurting themselves by not forgiving. And it's an innocent or maybe even an ignorant error. And ignorant doesn't mean stupid. It just means like we don't know. you know, it's the best we know how to do, and if we knew better, we would do better. So hopefully in this conversation you and I are having, we'll be able to have another perspective on the process of forgiveness. Often people hold on because they think like they're letting the other person off the hook, or, you know, that it's a sense of some sort of power, you know, over the other person, because the truth is we feel powerless over what happened. So if I withhold forgiveness, then somehow I have a sense of power in that moment. We think that if we are forgiving, we're condoning something, or that if we forgive, we won't be prepared and will be taken advantage again in the future. You know, it's none of those things, but it certainly is understandable why we would interpret forgiveness to be like that.
Yeah, and a lot of people, they interpret, I would think, that something like forgiveness as, you know, you mentioned condoning, or, you know, just continuing to allow that to happen. That's not what you're saying at all. It's that you're forgiving what did happen.
Well, what we're doing really, you know, well, first let's look at what unforgiveness is, because that I think we're really familiar with, even though it's almost transparent, because a lot of us walk around in unforgiveness quite a bit. You know, when we're in unforgiveness or withholding forgiveness, you know, it kind of gives us an identity. You know, we become righteous. We have this surge of indignation. It's a false sense of power. We feel like, you know, like I said earlier, we have some sense of control over our life, because at least I can choose not to forgive. And, you know, but it is an action of againstness. You know, we're really against what happened. We're against the event. We're against the person who participated in the event. And we are also judging what happened. That based on my story about how my life should be, that should not have occurred. And so now we're arguing against reality. And we can do that all we want, but reality is, and reality wins. I mean, it already happened. And so we end up withholding our energy and separating. And as a result, we suffer. We suffer a lot.
And the goal, in my opinion, of any relationship is to come back to a place of connection. And as long as you're doing that withholding, it's going to be near impossible to come back to a place of connection, you know, with anyone in any relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And what you're talking about, if you're wanting to forgive in order to mend the tear in the relationship, forgiveness is essential.
And the same thing also applies, doesn't it, if you're holding on to something in the present moment that's happened even in previous relationships, or relationships that have nothing to do with the one that you're in now.
Yes, and, you know, what we have to look at again is somewhere inside ourselves a standard has been violated. Whatever happened shouldn't have happened, or something else should have happened. And whenever we hear ourselves either aloud or in, you know, silently to ourselves, our self-talk, use the word should, you can count on the fact that we're judging. So something happened, and now we put meaning on what happened, and now we're saying that meaning is offensive. And so when we forgive, what we forgive is the judgment we put on the event.
Are you changing the judgment when you do that, or are you just forgiving the judgment, forgiving the offense, forgiving the offender?
We're forgiving the judgment. I forgive myself for judging. So, for example, somebody cuts me off and I judge them an inconsiderate lout. Okay? Then I find out, you know, the next day in the paper, that guy, you know, however, that he was on his way, he just got a call, his wife was having a baby.
Wow.
You know, so suddenly I realized my judgment had nothing to do with reality. It was the meaning I put on that moment in order to make sense of that moment, and that meaning upset me, that somehow he was against me and he was cutting me off and he was trying to do me harm, when the reality was he was probably so focused on getting home so he could be there with his wife. It had nothing to do with me at all. So what I would do is I would forgive myself for the judgment I placed against that man, because it's the judgment that separates.
Wow. And so one of the goals would be to, as you move forward, to start creating a new story. And that's certainly what we're going to be talking more about here. And we're talking about broken trust and how to turn trust around in a relationship or marriage after trust has been broken. How important is forgiveness when you're trying to turn trust around in a relationship?
Well, it's essential. If we don't forgive the past, then we can't be open to creating a new and better future. Because as I said earlier, with in unforgiveness and withholding forgiveness, we just stay stuck in the past. I mean, we don't have all of us available to ourselves. I don't have all of me available to myself because some of my mind keeps going into the past. So basically, I keep giving myself my power away to something that's not even in my life at the moment. So if I want to engage again in my partnership, in my relationship, I need to call myself present so I can invest in this moment and invest in learning from what happened so my partner and I can engage in ways to create something even better. To learn from the past, that's the gift of forgiveness also. It's about making wisdom out of our wounds, learning from the past to discern, well, you know, how did I even contribute to that event happening? Did I have a part of it, even though on the surface maybe I wasn't the offender? You know, how did my partner and I collaborate to set that up? You know, why did I call this particular event into my life? There's so much that could be learned when we open up to forgive and to accept what happened and to learn from what happened, because we want to repair the relationship and move forward. So when we do bring forgiveness in, there's a huge gift that comes. You know, the gift of acceptance, the gift of not only setting me free, but setting, you know, like kind of putting a reset button on the relationship so we can start anew. And that doesn't mean forgetting, because, you know, a lot of people say when we forgive, we're also going to forget. What we forget is the hurt, the judgments, the anger, all the negativity associated with what happened. But we don't forget what happened because hopefully there was a lesson there, and we don't want to forget what we learned from the experience, because that really becomes who we are, part of who we are right now. We want to take that part with us.
So what is it that, and I loved what you said just now about making wisdom out of our wounds. That was just beautiful, and I think that that really is, you know, hitting it right on the spot there. Why is it that we attach painful meanings to some things and not to other things that happen to us or that are a part of our life experience? Why is that?
Well, as a therapist, licensed therapist and a coach, I can tell you that we very often project onto our most intimate partners unresolved issues from earlier times. That, you know, we often will call forward a person who will help surface into our consciousness unresolved issues so that in a place, a container of loving, we can actually bring healing and wholing to our lives.
And so that would lead me into the next question, which is, what is the purpose of forgiveness and forgiving? You know, we've talked about this a lot, and so maybe I'm just asking you to kind of drill down on it and maybe just answer that in maybe a sentence or two, because that's all we've been talking about so far in this conversation. But what is the purpose of forgiveness and forgiving?
Well, it's a part of an ongoing healing process, and it is a part of the medicine, let's say, we use to heal the wounds. So forgiveness, you know, it's like if you cut yourself, and you might put an antibiotic cream in, and first, you know, clean the cut, put an antibiotic cream, put a bandage on it, you know, and take care of that wound until it heals. Well, to me, forgiveness is a healing balm that you can just massage into the wound so the wound can heal. It's a sign of positive self-esteem. It's about saying I'm not willing to build my identity around something that happened in the past. I choose to put the past into its proper perspective, to learn from it and move on. But as a healthy person, I'm going to choose to let that go and harvest from the experience that which serves me. You know, forgiveness therefore becomes a very powerful resource. And it also is a place of accepting that nothing we do to punish the other person, or, you know, also, Otto, we also judge ourselves. So what if I was the one that, you know, made the mistake in the relationship and I was really heavy-handed with myself? I need to forgive myself for what I did. So
You
know, realizing that there's nothing I can do to punish myself will heal me. You know, so, you know, to forgive myself is part of the process of moving on. And like I said, it is about moving on and choosing to create a full and satisfying life rather than being identified as the broken one, the betrayed one, the wounded one. I mean, that's only so much fun for how many minutes before it gets old?
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. Susie and I talked with someone, it's been 2 or 3 weeks ago now at the time that we're making this recording, and it was interesting. The woman had just come out of a relationship that had ended, actually, her marriage, and it was her third marriage. And as we were, we had just met the woman, and we were, you know, talking about different things and different aspects of our lives. And she mentioned the fact that, because she knew that we were relationship coaches, and she said, well, you know, what does this say about me? You know, I was married at 18, divorced at 20. I was married at 36, divorced at 38, and now here I am at 51, divorced again. And so she was essentially saying, you know, I'm a mess. And so it's like she was owning this as like her lot in life, so to speak. And so she obviously is not forgiven herself because of all the self-judgments.
Right.
And that's a painful place to come from instead of, you know, like you were talking about earlier, of making wisdom out of, you know, her wounds and seeing, okay, well, this has happened and this has happened, and what can I learn from this? And that's always been one of the things that's driven me is, you know, when things haven't gone the way I've wanted in my life, I've always tried to turn it around to, okay, what can I learn from this? And once I start doing that, things seem to go quite a bit differently than continuing to stay stuck in that loop or that pattern.
Or, you know, I love that question. I mean, I think it's a highly beneficial and resourceful question. It's one I use a lot myself. And asking powerful questions are really transformative. And a couple other I want to toss out just for people to consider is, you know, how is this experience in service to me? You know, who have I become as a result of this experience that I wouldn't have been before? Or what can I be grateful for as a result of what just happened? You know, there's so much that comes to us that wouldn't have. And the other thing is to realize that we learn from adversity. That we all grow so much more and get stronger when we actually overcome challenges. And if anybody to look around at their lives and look at the lives of other people, it's true. There is more inventiveness. There's creativity. There's just making more dendrites in your brain when we have to solve problems. So nobody said that you're coming to planet Earth to have a vacation and nothing ever is going to go off course in your life.
It would be great if that's the way it works, wouldn't it?
But that's not the nature of this planet. So, again, we argue with reality when we think that just because we wrote it down on a piece of paper or what I had imagined things would turn like out like with this person and they didn't happen, that therefore somehow I'm a failure or the marriage failed or something's wrong here. No, I really think that's part of the whole process that we, each one of us as human beings, is here to experience.
So how do you forgive? Is there a simple way to do it? Is there a process, a magic formula that you and only you hold?
Well, it's a process and it's not an event. It's certainly not a clear-cut decision. It doesn't often happen in a moment if we're talking about a deep wound. And, you know, it cannot be forced. But it's not a spiritual bypass. I'm just going to give you a couple things that it's not. It's not pretending everything's all right when it's not. It's not about, like I said earlier, forgetting. It's not condoning. you know, it cannot occur when we're in any way denying, minimizing, justifying any negative experience. And it's not associated with any behavior. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to choose to include them back into your life. It really depends. Now, clearly in the context of the book you're writing, that is the intention, is to forgive so that you can rebuild trust, so that, you know, the relationship can deepen in intimacy and grow into something even better. So when I look at the word forgive itself, I think it has a lot of clues. So forgive. So we were talking earlier that when we're in unforgiveness, we are withholding. So when we're in forgiveness, we are for the action of giving. So what would we be giving? You know, we can be giving a lot of things. We could be giving to ourselves and to the other person acceptance. We can be giving loving kindness. We can be giving compassion. We can be giving appreciation. All these qualities can bring us to a place of openness where we're willing to open back up and with discernment begin to trust again. Because in truth, maybe I never did what the other person did to offend me, but I'll tell you something, Otto, I have made a lot of mistakes in my life. And I, you know, it's like I can't be the person to cast the first stone because, well, I don't know, I don't have a perfect record. So sometimes we forget that. We forget that we're all human and we all make mistakes. So we want to move to a place of perhaps giving the benefit of the doubt, especially when we're talking about building relationship trust.
Right.
And so, so when we understand that that's what forgiveness is, number one, we have to really want to. We have to really, really want to mend the broken, the tear. And then we have to be willing to do whatever it takes, and part of that is to forgive. So we have to want to, and we have to be willing.
That's huge, isn't it? That's really where it all begins.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, I do have, somewhat of a formula for forgiveness. You know, number one is to just accept yourself. Number one, just totally accept that you're upset. And that's fine. Angry, hurt, betrayed, those things are totally appropriate. So we don't want to make those aspects of our own process wrong in any way, because that just adds more judgment. So you just acknowledge and accept that there's upset. And you allow yourself to feel fully whatever it is you're going through. And so that brings its own place of peace, and it creates a container for the process of forgiveness. And remember, I told you, you forgive for yourself. You forgive to let yourself free. And so then you start to begin to notice, what are the judgments? What's the meaning you put on the situation or event or the person? And you begin to forgive the judgments. I forgive myself for judging Susie as X. I forgive myself for judging Joe as X. I forgive myself for judging Sally as, you know, blah, blah, blah. I forgive myself for judging myself as having been, you know, so naive that I fell for that again. You know, all the things that, you know, we judge that just, you know, add to the upset, until we can just start to clear, you know, the irrational thoughts and the misunderstandings. And at some point, we're able to just kind of see the situation for what it is. No, I acknowledge that there was a breach of trust. I appreciate that I would be very disturbed at this moment because, you know, I thought we had an agreement of monogamy, and that agreement has been broken. I mean, we certainly don't want to deny the reality of what happened. You know, and then, you know, it may be that we need to make requests in order to bring trust back into the relationship. And just because there's forgiveness doesn't mean that trust automatically happens.
Well, there's also the thing about there's boundaries that one must, in my opinion, first of all, have, and second of all, request that they be honored in order for a relationship to continue to thrive and flourish, and for you to feel like, you know, as you're moving forward, that really being honored and in a way that, that feels good to you.
Absolutely. And I like to give an example. It's not I had a couple come in, and the husband had been using drugs, and he was clean and sober when he came in, but they came in because she was really mad and did not trust him. You know, she did not feel good and trusting that he wasn't going to use again. And, you know, so it's not another woman, but you can consider a drug or alcohol the other woman or the other man. I mean, it pretty much is the same level of infidelity. And he wants to have, you know, he's clean and sober and he's feeling great and he wants to have babies. And she's not quite ready. Well, totally understandable. And he understands it too. He really does. He's really very patient and understands that, why that would be true for her. You know, so they're talking about what kind of boundaries she needs. What is it going to take for her to relax and open into that, you know, having a baby with him, you know? And some of it might be that she's going to make a request about having him set aside a certain amount of money in her name only. So in case the worst happens and he goes back to using, which she's already told him, if that happens, she's leaving, there's a means of support for her and her baby. So concrete, tangible requests to support her in being prudently willing to open up to the possibility of trusting him again.
And what I love about that is she's being totally conscious while she's working on building trust with him and allowing him in a little bit, maybe a little bit more, but she's also being totally present to her needs and what her needs might be.
Yes. Yes, it's a big deal if she says yes to this.
It's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. And she wants it also, but she's not being foolish. So, yes, she's forgiven him, and it's a process. I mean, you know, as they move forward and he's more steady and reliable, which are all, you know, reliability is one of the assessments we make when we're trusting them. You know, are they sincere, competent, and reliable? So the more he shows up reliable and the more she sees he's competent to commit to her on this new level, and the more she can, you know, assess his sincerity, the more she can forgive the layers and layers of upset she's been through. But that takes time, you know, and, you know, to rebuild trust takes time.
Now, I don't want to dwell on the negative too much, but I do want to ask, you know, because what we've found in our work is that a lot of times someone, you know, something will happen in a relationship or maybe even something from the past, and someone will seem to want to hold on to, you know, an old hurt or, to use the language you've been using, a wound, and to hold on to that for a long time. And they will not want to forgive, or they'll hold back from forgiving or even accepting forgiveness, especially after trust has been broken. So they'll hold on to that forever, so it seems. But what makes a person not want to forgive?
Well, I think we mentioned that earlier. It's a, like I said, it's a point of power, and they're very, somehow they've gotten very comfortable with being the victim. You know, you did this to me, and now I have a right to, you know, be indignant and righteous, and it's a power play. I mean, and now I won't have babies with you, or now I won't have sex with you, or whatever it is,
and,
you know.
And so that's turned into a place of superiority.
Yes, it's like
a place of control.
Right, and I'm not saying this from a place of judgment. I'm saying, again, because they, when something, you know, really seemingly horrific happens, and we feel like so powerless in the face of that, and we are powerless in the face of anybody's actions. We have no control over anybody. And so when something happens that's a breach in the trust, you know, it is an automatic, understandable reaction to try to get a sense of power over one's life again, and we can do that through not forgiving. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. It certainly is a phase probably most, if not all, people go through. So, like, again, it's part of the human experience, but we don't want to stop there. Not if you say you want to repair your relationship and have it grow into the loving experience that you yearn for, we need to forgive. We need to forgive and start doing the things that will allow trust to grow again.
So if one or both of the people in a relationship don't forgive, what are the problems that sort of get created because of that, because of the holding on, because of the resistance to forgiving and the letting go and the healing that comes with that?
I think it's a problem you'll see in any unconscious relationship, basically, because, you know, like you asked me earlier about people coming in and the issues that come present, even if there isn't some big violation of trust. I mean, you can't be a couple without having irritations, issues, disagreements, power struggles. I mean, in the day-to-day life, I mean, if, you know, I don't forgive my husband for forgetting to take the garbage out or not cutting the dog's toenails when he promised me. I mean, it could be all these little irritations that add up, you know, also. So if we don't forgive, we basically are stuck in a power struggle. You know, who's right, who's wrong? You know, who's better than, who's less than? You know, who has control today, who doesn't? Who's in charge, who's not? And it's not fun.
It's not fun. And so what about the person who is with a partner and the partner has violated some of the agreements and boundaries in the relationship, and they said they would stop, mm-hmm. and the partner goes through a forgiveness process. They think everything's okay, and then they find out that the same behavior is continuing. Now, what's next for this person? Were they forgiven? They thought everything's okay. Are they starting the relationship back at square one? Is there any place for forgiveness at this point? And there's a lot of questions this person's going to have. You know, was that time, effort, and energy they spent on forgiving wasted, or is there more to it than that? I know I've thrown a lot at you there, but what's next for that person?
Well, you know, it's certainly a red flag. I mean, I'm not asking anybody to stick their head in the sand and not notice what's going on. I mean, we need to be conscious and attentive and self-caring. We have to find out what it really means. You know, did they make an agreement out of coercion? Did they say yes when they really knew they couldn't deliver? You know, was there some sort of manipulation where they thought, oh, my God, if I don't say yes, you know, this person's going to leave me? And, you know, often when anybody says yes when they mean no, they're going to undermine that agreement in the future. Maybe this couple needs to learn how to make conscious agreements with each other. So, you know, it's a lot to wonder about. I mean, I don't, you know, without knowing this, people is a very generic question. I certainly want to give a lot of choices as to what's possibly going on there. It would be terrible to put that in a box since it does happen so often. You know, I don't know if they're at square one or negative one. You know, the situation certainly has shifted. How it turned, did they own up the fact that they didn't keep the agreement? Were they respectful to their partner about breaking the agreement? You know, that's all to be discovered. I mean, I would hope that people who are working through relationship trust issues, you know, are getting some sort of support by a third party or a book or something. I mean, that's, you know, a tender area and probably could use some facilitation, coaching, counseling, not because of any other reason other than in our culture we're really ignorant about how to build conscious, loving relationships, and support in times of stress like this are important. And so nobody can decide for that person if they're at square one, if they have to start over, or if, you know, anything like that. But I do know as in a car, there's a warning light now on the dashboard. And, you know, if it's my car, I need to pay attention to what that light is saying. You know, something's off course. It's time to take corrective action, whether it's my gas light or my oil light. You know, maybe the car can be fixed, maybe not, but something needs to be done or the car is surely going to break. So it, you know, so it means that there's something that needs to be paid attention to. And like I said, whether the agreement was broken, you know, out of an ignorance of how to negotiate a win-win situation, or because the agreement was broken, you know, that is unknown in the example you gave me. But to me, forgiveness is never wasted, ever, ever, ever. We forgive for ourselves, and we really forgive to take our power back because, again, as I said before, we don't forgive, we're stuck in resentment and victimhood. And, you know, the other person may be having a grand old time breaking their agreements, and you're stuck in your negativity, anger, and hurt. You know, and there's this great saying that resentment is a poison you drink hoping the other person will die. I mean, it's not a really good strategy. So clearly, we want to forgive. We want to drink clean water, and we want to feel good. So that's my answer.
Let me try something on just for a second and get your response to this. Because Susie and I have been creating this book and creating this course on turning trust around in a relationship, of course, I've spent a great deal of time thinking about this topic. And one of the things I've thought about is the idea that in any relationship and in any situation, we all create rules for how we are and how we want to be. Sometimes these rules are conscious rules that we can think about, we can look at, we can acknowledge them and know that they're present. Sometimes we don't know that we've created certain rules that we're living by.
Uh-huh.
And so everyone has these, and like I say, we're not always present to them. And could it be in a situation where someone has violated a rule of someone else's is that they've just simply realized, or maybe didn't realize, that their own rule for how they want to live is more important than the other person's rule, so they just keep on doing what they were doing because their rule is more important to them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. And when we come into an intimate partnership, those things obviously will run against, you know, the difference in our values, our standards, our so-called rules, our expectations. And, you know, those things will need to be negotiated, where if I think my rule, I'm not sure I like that word, but it's good enough, is more important than your rule, does that mean I think I'm more important than you? I mean, I wouldn't think that would lead to trust and openness in our relationship.
I think that where we come together is that place of saying that my rule is, you know, the most important thing to me, and your rule is the most important thing to you. Okay, how can we come together and merge in such a way that we both can create something even greater, where we both can be, you know, have our wants, needs, and desires, you know, validated, and live in a way that we're truly happy. So there's got to be a third alternative, a third way.
Well, always in relationship, it's 1 + 1 = 3 if we're doing it, well.
Yes.
You know, a third right answer, you know. So that's the whole beauty about intimacy, is learning how to create third right answers together. It's not going to be my way, and it's not going to be your way, because there's no, it's just, and, I mean, when there's conflict, obviously there are, you know, my husband and I happen to be, you know, on a same level as far as tidiness and order in the house, so that was easy. But he still doesn't like to put dishes in the dishwasher, and that's important to me, you know, and on that level. So, you know, we negotiate around it. And I have to decide what's important to me, and if it's really important to me, then we'll talk about it. You know, we both come from very different backgrounds as far as our relationship to money. So that has been a process of negotiation where we've come up with a third right answer that we both feel good about.
That's something that's really important that you just brought up, is the idea of, you know, coming from different places to do with money, because forgiveness just isn't about infidelity and, you know, something that's maybe a sexual infidelity or something like that, because this plays out in all different aspects of our relationships, is this, you know, the different ways that we tear down trust because of when the rules have been broken in our relationships. And money's a huge one. It's huge for many people.
Well, and the rules are unconscious. Like, those are, maybe you're using the word rules the way I use the word shoulds. Which they're totally interchangeable. You
yes.
know, like my husband should come and find me when he comes home and greet me.
Yes, that's the language I'm using, yes.
Right, and then he doesn't. And then he doesn't know that that's what I'm wanting, because I've never told him. And in his family, they didn't do it that way, but they did that way in my family. So now he's got an upset wife and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we have a little, whatever, you know, discord going on. So, you know, how do we negotiate that? You know, well, he tells me it doesn't work for him, that he just needs to chill, and I say, well, it really means a lot to me, and so we find some common ground, and we come up with our own ritual.
So for,
but it wasn't until he didn't do it did I know I had a expectation.
Right, until it's brought to a consciousness and brought to the surface.
Right, I certainly don't have this owner's manual, how to be good to Leslie. You know, when you come home, you need to come upstairs and say hello no matter what I'm doing. I didn't even know that was in there.
Yeah, that's something to shoot for, but we don't have that going in.
And he didn't tell me I was supposed to knock at his office door when I wanted to come into the room. Not until I didn't do it did I find out I did an ups. What do you mean? We don't knock on doors in my house.
Right.
Where I come from, we do.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And so even in this conversation between you and I, uh-huh. you know, using different language, you know, you're using the word should, I'm using the word rules, and that just goes to show how something as simple as a word can make all the difference in the world in how you may or may not get triggered. You know, because I'm certainly not triggered in this moment, and I don't think that you are just because of using a different word. But this goes to show in relationships how anything can get really blown out of proportion, and, you know, anger, judgment, blame, all these things can come up. And so maybe a question I'll have around that is, how do you stop being angry about what happened and where you can get to a point where you can forgive? Because a lot of people are angry.
First, I want to tell you my word is better than yours. And we just, you know, just...
I'll let you believe whatever you would like to believe.
Because you could turn should to could, which becomes liberating. So when my husband comes home and I say, well, he should be coming upstairs, if I actually just shifted it to he could come upstairs, and I realize, well, oh, my goodness, the man has a choice. Anyway, and that's one of the ways to deal with my anger is to start realizing that the world isn't as Leslie has deemed it to be and that people show up the way they show up. And my job, if I really, is to find out how to connect with the other person and come into a place of community with the other person, which means there's more than just me. And so the question was, how do I stop being angry about what happened?
Yeah, about what happened to where you can get to a point where you actually can forgive. Is that simply a matter of changing your focus?
As I said earlier, it's totally, it's important to allow ourselves the dignity of our process, which includes if I am feeling angry, that I allow myself to feel my anger. That doesn't mean I go downstairs and I bite my husband's head off, but it lets you know that I feel my feelings and I listen to what my feelings are telling me. Because feelings are messengers. So we listen to the feelings and we let the energy move.
And any emotion that's coming through is okay, but we don't want to be stuck in those places.
Correct. And, you know, emotion is like energy in motion, emotion. So we don't want to just say, oh, I can't be angry or I shouldn't be feeling this because, again, those are judgments and we're trying to manipulate reality, and the reality is you are angry. So often feelings are telling us about unmet needs. So if I'm feeling angry that my husband, well, let's use that example again, that he doesn't come up to greet me, then I may have a need to have connection when he comes home. So, you know, it's like, oh, what's missing here? You know, there are negative thoughts and feelings often are messengers or complaints that something's missing. And, again, that's where we can move to a place out of victim into empowerment. If I can say, what's missing? Oh, I'm angry. What's missing? Oh, I want to connect with my husband when he comes home. Honey, could we create some sort of ritual around connection? Because it really means a lot to me when you come home for us just to kind of be together for a bit. What do you think about that? It's way different than just sitting in my anger and my judgments about the fact that my needs aren't being met.
And then you've got all the negative self-talk that comes up when you stay stuck there is
uh-huh.
you never and how could you and how dare you and you know, all those things.
And so when I go down to my husband and we talk about it and I see how he's open to support me in getting my needs met, what is there to forgive? The guy loves me.
Yeah. And it's just your own judgments that you were living with, yeah.
Yeah, It was all inside of me. So once I'm able to take a proactive, intentional, self-empowering action, often all that stuff dissipates.
But you're leading me perfectly into our next, into the next thought or next question I had. But I know a fair amount about your work and the work that you do with, you know, not just couples, but people as a whole, and how people can create lives by their own design. And what does being a creator of your life or living by design, what does that have to do with forgiving?
Well, when we're in a place of resentment, which is often the mood that's created when there's been some violation of trust, we you know, assert that some event has happened, and we assess or evaluate that some damage was done, and my current possibilities are now restricted. And I feel it's not fair, and I blame the other person for my experience. And, you know, and I start to feel there's nothing I can do to get the other person to make enough amends. And I just am, you know, sitting in a place of being a victim. And as I said earlier, that doesn't really do anything. My life is now less happy than it was before, and I have no recourse. That's what I'm telling myself. Well, the fact is the opposite of resentment is acceptance. And that is really one of those power moves that I work with quite a lot in my Living by Design work with people, is to really have conscious power tools to move us from a place of feeling like a victim to a person of true creative power, a person who lives by design, not by default or in resignation or resentment. And so what we do is we come to terms with what's unchangeable, and we accept the facts. And we bring ourselves to a place of peace with what cannot be changed. So we accept our past, and in doing so, that allows us to concentrate our energy and focus on taking action that could actually change our future. So in the earlier example, you know, with my husband not doing what I wanted him to do or not living according to my rules, I could sit in the stink of my resentment, or I could actually proactively and creatively request a conversation to design something together that I would really prefer. And we can then, he may not say yes to my initial idea, but together we can collaborate on something better. And so now I'm a person who is actually designing my life, rather than, number one, expecting everybody to show up according to the little rule book that was planted in my brain, but instead now I'm rewriting that book according to the circumstances I find myself. And as I get more and more in touch with who I really am and what I really want, because Otto, I don't know about you, but when I sometimes I see the rules inside of there, they're ridiculous. You know? So it's like, oh, my goodness, why am I making that important? That's not really meeting what I really want. This is what I really want. And so we start to rewrite our own script. The other thing about being empowered around trust and forgiveness is, although our disturbance might be well-grounded, and like, yes, indeed, that person broke an agreement, we all have choices. And again, choices and living by design, you know, choices and feeling empowered and in charge of our own lives are very important. And awareness of choice and taking action on our choice is part of what moves us out of resentment and opens up to the possibility of trust and forgiveness again.
Sometimes we forget we have choice, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So we're no longer the victim, but we're taking action to make a difference in our lives. So number one, you know, we need to at least acknowledge that we have some sort of internal complaint. So in my case, you know, oh, I don't like it when he just goes up to his office. So I don't like that. So what's missing? And so I can make a request around what's missing. And to me, that's one of those power tools, again, is turning complaints into requests. You know, if something really, quote-unquote, big happened, like with the clients I talked about earlier, she asking for compensation for what happened. And, you know, so that bank account set aside for her some ways of compensation, not so much for what happened in her particular case, because she's not really going to choose to access it unless something in the future happens. But it's sort of, you know, compensating her for the mental anguish and is supporting her so she can move forward. You know, I remember a time when the phone company didn't show up when they said they would, and I sat home all day, and I was rather irritated. And they did come the next day, but I called them, and I said, it was when I first moved into my house. I said, you know, you didn't keep your agreement. I stayed home all day, and I'd like compensation for your disrespect of me and my time. And they gave me, I don't know, $50-$100 off my bill. That felt a lot better. I mean, it didn't make up for having to stay home all day, but, you know, taking action on behalf of myself and addressing my complaint and asking for compensation was very worthwhile, and they no longer was experienced by me as a very negative thing. I felt like they were willing to be in relationship with me and say, yes, we made a mistake, and yes, we're willing to make compensation. And then, of course, like we've been talking about, forgiveness is huge. And, you know, we move from resentment to empowerment again, from victim to a creative force, is when we declare that in spite of what happens, we're not going to let our story in our head about what happened get in the way of our relationship. And that's what forgiveness is again. It's another way to see that. And you said earlier, Otto, that we're going to restory the event.
Yes.
We're going to manage ourselves in relationships of the past so that no longer interferes with our current relationship. Because otherwise, what we're always in relation, if you and I, Otto, are in a relationship and I haven't yet forgiven you, then in between the space between you and me is my story about what you did. And I'm no longer in relationship with the Otto who's in the room.
It's some other relationship. It's some other time, and it's not going on in the present moment. It's some other time, some other place.
Yeah, and it's not me and you right now.
Right.
It's me and my story about who I think you were back then, and that may not even be correct.
And yet it's the story that you created that you're still living with, that you're still, as you said earlier, you're continuing to retell yourself that story over and over.
Yes, yes. And remember, it's just the story. When, you know, the four blind men came to touch the elephant, one said, oh, he's touching the ears. Oh, it's like a big fan. And one's touching the legs and going, no, it's like a tree. And one's touching the tail and it's going, no, it's like a rope. And the other one's touching the trunk and he's going, no, it's like a snake. I mean, they're all right. But they're all correct as well. I mean, often we only see part of the story. So if I'm going to be walking around saying, no, an elephant's like a snake, I mean, I don't know. That may not really serve me.
You've talked a tremendous amount about power tools and, you know, someone could shift from victim to empowerment. Are there any other power tools that you'd like to share with the people that may be listening to this?
Wanted to say two more relative to a break in an agreement or a break in trust. One is that, you know, like you said earlier, what happens if the person worked through it and this thing happened again? You know, is it forgiveness for naught? Or are they back at square one? You know, at some point, I mean, we may have to look at, because of the degree of damage that has been done and the systematic recurrence of the actions that keep producing disturbance, that there's been so much distrust that is developed that it serves us to close a relationship. And, you know, again, awareness of choices, that too is a choice. Now, that for me, you know, in certain circumstances wouldn't be what I'm aiming for. You know, that would be once, you know, trying to negotiate win-win outcomes, third right answers, forgiveness, you know, but at some point if things aren't shifting, either within me or within the other person, it's, you know, that is a choice also. And then the last tool in this particular arena would be we can always be grateful. Gratitude is a huge power tool. Grateful for whatever comes to us in our lives and look to see where the blessings are, even if it's about closing a relationship down. There have to be gifts in that. And, you know, it may take a while and some hindsight in order to harvest the gifts of that particular relationship. But you talked to me earlier about a woman, I think you said she was married four times?
Three times, yes.
Three times? I bet you she's not the same person she, you know, at the beginning of the first one as she was when it was over. And then the second one, and she has, each one of those relationships has changed her in some way. So she could either choose to look at herself as a failure, or she could choose to look at the gift of those relationships and who she has become as a result. Now, I would encourage the latter.
And that's the place where people really would be well served to come from. You know, because there's so much growth, there's so much good that can come, no matter what has happened, but we have to look for the gift.
Yeah, it's like goes back to your question, what you were saying earlier, Otto, how you love to ask the question, what can I learn from this?
It's not always an easy question to ask in the moment. So you, a lot of times what I'll have to do is I'll have to get a little bit of distance, not necessarily that much in time, but I've got to bring myself out of that present moment enough to be able to resource myself and to come to a place where I'm a little more calm, a little more just looking at it from maybe a bird's eye perspective a little bit.
Yeah, and so that's beautifully said. So that's when you go back to how do we move from anger to forgiveness? Well, maybe it's not an A and a B. Maybe there's an A, B, C, D, E, then forgiveness. You know, so maybe A is acceptance, that I'm angry, and, you know, usually when we're angry and upset, we're contracted, like you were saying, you know, which means I wish the opposite of having perspective. And we allow the dignity of our process of unfolding till we are ready to engage in the forgiveness process. And where at that point we, you know, focus on appreciations and gratitude and lessons learned and how this has served me. So, like you said, it's truly moving from, you know, if I bang my knee against the cocktail table, which I have done more than once, my immediate response is, oh, how can I learn from this? It's not like that at all. You know, my energy closes in, I grab onto my knee, I'm contracted because I'm hurting. That's perfectly appropriate. And then I'll go take care of my knee, and I'll put ice on it, and maybe I'll take some rescue remedy or some arnica, you know, and I'll just focus on, you know, relieving the pain. And then maybe I'll say, I wonder what I can learn from this. I mean, I've done that more than once. You know, maybe I need a new cocktail table, or it's too close to the couch, or, you know, something. You know, how can I take care of myself moving forward? But initially, that's not the first thing I think of.
Wonderful. Well, you just talked quite a bit about gratitude and being grateful, and I am incredibly, as is Susie, incredibly grateful to you for this conversation and for the help and service that you've given to people who really are at a place in their life where they really need it, and they need some answers, and they need some help and guidance, and I think that you've been able to provide quite a bit of that, and so we're so appreciative of you and glad that you chose to be a part of this series. So we really want to appreciate you for that.
And as always, Otto and Susie, I consider it an honor and a privilege to be part of anything you do.
This recording is copyrighted by Susie and Otto Collins and Conscious Heart Publishing. Reproduction or duplication of this recording of any kind is strictly prohibited. For more information about us, relationship coaches Susie and Otto Collins, or to sign up to get our free weekly Passionate Heart, Love, and Relationship newsletter, just visit our interactive website at www.passionateheart.com. That's passionateheart.com, all one word. If you'd like to contact us about coaching, speaking engagements, or for any other reason, just call our office at area code 614-459-8121. That's area code 614-459-8121. Thanks very much for listening. This is the end of this recording.